And we are live. We're live. So guys, man, welcome to the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. I am your host, Manny, and you're listening to the Back Row Redskins show. A little late start tonight. Plenty was happening, but coming back to the stage, I got my boy Phil from the Redskins Hub. He just got a big time promotion. So the wings are on Phil. For tomorrow. Welcome back to the show, Phil.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely. And next guy I have on the stage is Mr. Kevin Hicks from Nashville, Tennessee, like myself. Well, we live in Nashville, Tennessee. Big time Washington football fan, big time Redskins fan. Kevin, how you feeling, brother?
Feeling fantastic, my good man, as always. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. I can't wait for tomorrow. And last but not least, we got Kevin Longley coming back to the show. He was on the show a few weeks ago, and he decided to come back on. We're going to talk some football. We're going to have a good time. Kevin, man, how you doing, brother?
Doing great, man. I swear the draft has become my adult Christmas. I even thought about this a few months ago. I was like, I'm not even as excited for Christmas weekend as I am for the draft in a few months. So it's finally here. I'm stoked. I do have a question for you two, though, being in Nashville. Did you guys go to the draft a couple years ago?
Oh, absolutely.
So he went. I couldn't go. I got sick, so I had to go home.
I took my son, and actually I have photographic evidence that when we picked Dwayne Haskins, I was like,
But did you stay for Montez Sweat, though?
No, actually I left, and I was driving home. I was in the Uber heading home when I heard that we traded back up and got Sweat, and that's when I got excited. So
did I call you when that happened, Kevin?
You texted me. Yep.
Oh, I texted you. Okay. So for the sake of having two Kevins on the show, I'm gonna call you Hicks and I'm gonna call you Longley, because I'm not gonna be like Kevin and y'all be like, huh? What? All right. So
I just want to say you got a great first name. You got a great first name.
Yeah, you as well.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So the first topic. So Deron Payne, the fifth-year option, has been picked up. I was glad that we picked up the fifth-year option. I mean, it was a no-brainer. It was gonna happen, and it was only a matter of time. I think that Deron Payne, to me, is the best defensive tackle that we have. At least I think he has the best upside. So I'm going to kind of go around the frames and you guys give me your thoughts on Deron Payne and the fifth year option and where you think this D-line goes. Like, are we going to lose some people? Are we going to, we have to enjoy them now that we have them, but Phil, what's your take on this?
Well, like you said, Deron Payne, fifth year option, it was a no-brainer. Had to do it. Personally, I think he is the most athletic defensive lineman we have. As far as best right now, I still got to give it to the Greek god. Matt Ioannidis is a beast up the middle in the pass rush. And he can stop the run pretty well. I still think we're going to lose John Allen. I don't know why. That's my gut. I think John Allen is the one we won't pay, even though I think Rivera loves him. I just don't think we'll be able to pay him. I know the salary cap is going to go up next year, but if I'm keeping anybody, it's Deron Payne, Ioannidis, and Settle, because Settle can rotate in and he's cheap.
I mean, I'm with it. Payne is my guy. Payne is younger, and Jonathan Allen gets hurt more than Payne does. So Payne is more durable. Payne is more athletic, but Jonathan Allen is a beast and he is a leader. Kevin Hicks.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how we. It's kind of funny how we came full circle on this, because I remember, when we drafted John Allen, everyone was pretty excited because no one expected him to be there at that time. And then when we drafted Deron Payne the following year, it was a little confusing because it just felt like that wasn't the biggest positional need at that time. So it was like everyone can acknowledge it's a good player. You know, it's good that you get a top player. Was that really the pick we needed? You know, we didn't really know. But as it turns out, he goes on and almost becomes Defensive Rookie of the Year. He's dominant. And it's just really interesting how everything's kind of come full circle now to where Payne is the guy that we're like, we really need to keep this guy as opposed to Allen. I mean, it'd be great to keep all three to rotate. But, you know, financially speaking, probably isn't very feasible, and it's easier to keep Ioannidis as your second as opposed to two first round picks. So yeah, absolutely. I'd be very comfortable with that.
Absolutely. In the chat, I see DC Big Oso. What up, bro? Yeah, I'm excited for the draft tomorrow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then we have Brandon also. Can Payne have the same effect as Aaron Donald? I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to slide that question over to Longley.
I can't see him having an Aaron Donald effect. Aaron Donald has the capability of becoming – he has the capability. He's not there yet. Let's not forget about all the old-timers. But he does have the ability to go down as the greatest or a top three greatest defensive tackle ever. Daron Payne is a very good player. I wouldn't put him in that category. And to kind of piggyback on what you guys had said, I do think Ioannidis – probably is the most complete player of the three. And I think what kind of helped us, because there's a good chance that you can't even keep not just losing one, but potentially losing two if you have to save up for Chase and Sweat. What I think kind of helped our case financially on and this is bad news for Matt, but the injuries and the fact that he just missed the season, you know, that kind of knocks you down a little bit in terms of what people can expect from a contract. So perhaps that works in our favor. And John Allen, he's probably the leader of the group, so it's tough to see a guy like that go. But Payne fills the biggest the biggest skill gap that we have that you don't necessarily get as much from the combination of Sweat and Young, and that's the run stuffing ability. That's what he needs to do. So I think that plays him into being the most valuable member. But I was kind of with you all when we drafted him. I was pretty disappointed because I thought Derwin James was sitting right there, and I thought there was no way Derwin James was falling to us, and all of a sudden he's there and we pass on him. And after a year, I was pretty upset because Derwin James, he was all pro after his rookie year, but a couple injury riddled seasons later, I'm very happy we have Daron Payne and Payne's been a great pickup for us.
Absolutely. I mean, I was on the Derwin James train, and then the draft before that, it was a guy that I wanted. It's like we kept drafting the guys that I didn't want, but Jonathan Allen and Payne has just been tremendous. They've been a steal. And then when you add Sweat and Young to that line, it's like it's all complete. It was like a jigsaw puzzle or somebody creating some kind of masterpiece. And it was kind of ugly at first, you know, had the big eyes and the, you know, looking all crazy. And then once the full masterpiece is created, it's beautiful. And like you said, I do think we're probably going to lose two of the four defensive tackles. My prediction is that we're going to keep Matt because we already gave him that extension and he's going to be due to be paid again. So I like Matt. And like you said, with that injury, it only helps us, right? Then you got to keep Payne. So you keep one of the four first rounders, of course, in Payne. You might lose Jonathan Allen and you might lose Tim Settle. Those might be the two guys that we end up missing out on. But, I mean, a defensive line with, you know, Big Matt and Payne with the other two guys on the outside is still going to be pretty solid. And we're still going to continue to draft depth pieces and even pieces, you know, to continue this legacy of a very good defensive line. So I think from now for the next 10 years, we're going to have a strong defensive line because people are going to want to come here and have that same energy that our leader, Chase Young, has. You guys agree?
I agree.
Absolutely. And I also agree that the tackles being so good makes the defensive ends better because who are you going to double team? Like, you double team, one of the tackles, then everyone's one-on-one on the outside, right? If you double team the interior guys or you double team someone outside, then it makes the possibility for an attacking linebacker to be able to easily, you know, slice and dice into the backfield. So, you know, having that versatility on that line where you don't know who you can double team makes the entire team better, not just the individual components, you know.
Hey, I agree. And the next news that we're going to talk about is the Ereck Flowers trade. I was on my way. I don't know where I was going to. I think I was at the doctor's office with my kid, and I was in a parking lot, and then the news breaks, and I'm like, wait a minute, Ereck Flowers, is this real? I looked at all the sources. It was Ian Rappaport. It was real. And I was like, wow. So essentially, we get Eric Flowers back for a seventh round swap. And Miami pays $6 million. We pay $3 million. The total contract for Eric Flowers for these 2 years is $13 million for 2 years. So Eric Flowers knew his value during free agency. Ron Rivera knew his value during free agency. So, you know, I think Ron wanted to pay him around $8 million. Eric wanted around $10 million. And then you can earn more money because of the taxes in Miami. So he chose Miami. And now he's back home. He's back home. We get a starting left guard for a seventh round swap. So I'm going to let Phil talk first, and then we'll just swing it around.
I mean, moving back 14 spots in the seventh round and getting a quality guard play like Flowers was just that. I was shocked. I call that a fleece. As you, that's your word, Manny. That's a fleece.
Yes, sir.
We fleeced them. I guess they wanted a little salary cap space. They may take Penesul now and move Hunt inside the guard, which is not a bad idea. I mean,
exactly.
But you bring Flowers and put him under Matsko. I mean, you saw what he did with Callahan. Matsko is probably a better right now, a better coach. The way he took our line to what it did, I don't think Callahan could have done that with our line. Big fan of Matsko, and I think he's going to have Flowers playing really, really well. I went back and forth on whether I thought this was going to impact Brandon Scherff, and I have come to the conclusion I think it does. I wouldn't be shocked to see a draft day trade on draft day.
Hold that point. We're going to get to a draft day trade regarding Brandon Scherff. But remember when Miami was paying everybody? They were paying this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy. And we were like, man, Miami's making moves. Was it like a year later? You know, Van Noy is gone. Mm-hmm. You know, Eric Flowers is gone. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys that they paid are gone. And I think they're having trouble keeping those two corners. They have two of the highest paid corners in the entire NFL. So don't be surprised if you see another trade, if not this year, maybe next year. So it's funny. People trade. I mean, people sign people and people get, people get excited. It's not about signing the most people that you win free agency or that you win, games. So it's an interesting point to Miami getting rid of the guys that they were signing when they had the money. Now they are in competing mode. Kevin, what do you think about this Eric Flowers trade? I know you was pissed off at first.
Yeah, I was a little – I wouldn't say pissed off. I was a little confused by it at first because the first day it happened, you texted me. You said Flowers is back. So I looked at it and I saw that we traded. And the only thing that I saw was the contract. I knew that he was scheduled for $9 million this year and $10 million next year. And when I texted you at the time, I said, I'm a little conflicted about the Flowers trade because, you know, we already are paying the most expensive guard in the NFL. And then we're paying now for the number 10 salary for a guard in the NFL. And so number 1 and 10 for one of the least valuable positions in the NFL, we have two of the top 10 salaries. And I was a little concerned about that because I'm saying he's a starting quality guard, but middle of the road, you know, he's good, but not elite, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so taking on an additional $10 million for someone who is essentially a starter, but, you know, he didn't even have the PFF grade that Wes Schneitzel had last year. So it was a little concerning to me to take on that much additional salary. But when the news came out today that Miami was paying six of the $9 million this year, I texted him and said, now I like the Flowers trade. Now it makes sense to me. If you're just swapping the draft seventh rounders and they're taking 2/3 of the contract, that's a beautiful trade. So, yeah, I came around on it when the details of the contract came along. Yeah.
What about you, leasing comes in, huh, Phil?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
That's $6 million. I love it. I love it. And you know, well, for one, there was some talk that he might have regressed a little bit in Miami, but for one, I think we have a better coaching situation here. I think we have a better established talent pool around him here, so I think he will thrive again. But the other component is that while he didn't grade as well as Schweitzer last year, he graded close to that, and Schweitzer had a very, very high grade according to Pro Football Focus and did extremely well. So we have two guys that can go in and start, and then there's also the possibility of a Sadiq Charles, and I'm not even counting Brandon Scherff. So as you mentioned, I think, and you know, we won't get any draft talks for just a few minutes, but in terms of the idea that, you know, this impacts Scherff, I would like to think when I first heard that thought, I immediately thought that, you know, the Bruce Allen era would have made this trade and then thought, I might be able to do something with Brandon Scherff now. Whereas right. I feel like this is such a forward thinking group. That they might have thought, we want to do something with Brandon Scherff. What can we do to soften the blow? Oh, let's go get Ereck Flowers, and that way we've got our depth set aside. So I like that the depth is there. And keep in mind, this guy's 27 years old. It feels like he's been around forever because exactly. He was just ran over the coals in New York. But but he's only 27, so he can be the future at the position as well.
Absolutely. And I love that. Brandon commented, he said that he chose Miami to fulfill his dreams of playing on all three stages of football in Miami. He said that he's going back to Washington for business, you know. And I like the fact that he was excited to come back to D.C. I was listening to the interview with Josina Anderson, and Ereck Flowers mentioned, I'm excited, like at least three or four times during this interview. So initially, once the trade, you know, went down, everybody was saying Brandon Scherff gets traded. Here's my take on Brandon Scherff, and I want to get you guys' take as well. I think that Brandon Scherff plays out this season in DC. Okay. I don't even know what a trade value would be for Brandon Scherff. Personally, I think it'll be a draft pick for next year. Washington is not getting a draft pick in this draft. That's my prediction. Phil, what do you think?
I think you could get a second and a fifth for him maybe this year. Yeah, I'd really do. If a trade like that came along, I say move him. I know he's an all-pro. I know what he's done for this organization. And he's nasty. Like, he is a mean dude on that line. Watching him pull and just maul corners, it's been a great thing. But, you know, we offered to make him the highest paid guard at a long-term deal, and he turned down the money.
Exactly.
That tells me he's not there for the organization. And Rivera's a team guy, and I think Scherff's a me guy. And yep. I don't want no me guys. It's all about the team.
Absolutely. And this is giving me vibes of Trent Williams. I mean, look, Brandon Scherff, thanks for what you've done. But I mean, at this point, it's like deuces, man. I'm not going to miss you when you're gone. And to be honest, if a team offered a fifth round pick in this draft, I'll take it. Like, it comes to a point to where you almost got to take what you can. You know, you got to take the best offer available. And if all that comes available is a fifth or sixth round pick for, then you take it, because if he walks, you get nothing. You know, I talked about this in a previous video about the comp plan. You know, with the comp plan, there's a way that it works. I mean, comp picks. If we sign some people, then we, you know, that formula. So it's not guaranteed that we even get something when he walks. Because if he walks and we sign nobody, we get a third, because we know he's going to get paid. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, he doesn't want to be here. Deuces. Hicks, what do you think?
So I would I wouldn't agree with the take what we can, because it's not like he's a locker room cancer that we have to get rid of ASAP, right? So I don't say get rid of him for a fifth or sixth, because it's not like we're cap strapped particularly. He can help the team this year. Like you said, if he plays out the contract and walks, we get a third as a comp pick. So I think
if we don't sign anybody, it's a big if.
Right. But it is if. But bottom line, if that's worst case scenario, and best case scenario is you trade him and get a second or first, you know, because he's still young, he's still considered the elite player or one of the elite players at his position. You know, I think that the better scenario is you bring him back, let him play, and either trade him by the deadline, because some people are much more amenable to giving up next year picks as opposed to right now during the draft picks, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are more short-sighted to say, okay, the picks that are right here in front of me right now, I need to use them. But next year picks, those are fantasy picks up until we get up to the present, right? So people are much more amenable to give up higher picks next year as opposed to the current year, especially if they're already struggling. They're struggling with injuries. The line is being ravaged in one way or another. So I say when you have someone valuable, you hold on to him. You don't just toss him out like he's nothing. I wouldn't trade him for anything less than a second personally, even if I have to wait a while to do that. But I do think that the trade gives flexibility to where you don't have to get anyone in the draft and you don't have to trade him immediately. It does give you that flexibility. So in that regard, I think it was very, very wise.
What if he gets hurt again?
I mean, that could apply to anybody, right? I mean,
he's got a pretty extensive injury history.
Yep. Well, I mean, he doesn't want to be here. So me personally, I'm not forcing the issue. If he wants to play out the contract, great. I mean, he is going to help a guy that I'm going to get to after Longley talks. I'm going to give you the biggest winner with Eric Flowers and Brandon Sheriff being here. Longley, let me hear from you.
All right, so first off, for one, I agree with Hicks on this one. I would try to trade for something in the future that can bring some value. I also think that he can be part of a package that maybe beats out the other packages if we do look to trade up this year, because we're going to be in competition with potentially we don't know anything about what Washington is thinking right now, but if you're trying to separate yourself from the pack, from New England, from Chicago, from all these teams that might want to move up, adding in take an all-pro guard who hasn't quite turned 30, or he might have turned 30, but who's nearing 30. he's got a few good years left. Let's sprinkle that in there. So I think you can get value for him. I will point out, not to be a total apologist for players that we've departed with, I really don't have any ill will towards the Trents or the Sheriffs, because for one thing, I've seen, you know, it's, you know, the Sheriff is about me thing. You know, I've had friends tell me, you know, why would he want to leave? We've turned it around. And I got to remember, look, I loved last year as much as anybody, but he spent his entire career on a crap team. And is he supposed to sign off the rest of his future because the team went 7-9 one year? And with Trent Williams, he got, for one, his departure was the greatest contribution a Redskins player has given us for the past 20 decades or past two decades in the fact that he got Bruce Allen out of town. That's worth three straight playoff runs. I mean, we should be building Trent Williams a statue for that one. So I got no ill will towards Trent.
That's great.
So I don't necessarily blame him, because this is going to be his final big contract, right? So like you want to make sure you're at a place that has a history of being stable, and we're one Danny Boy decision away from not being stable again. And so I don't really blame him, but yeah, I would like to see what we could package him for. And as you said, in terms of hitting on these short-sighted individuals and getting maybe a second rounder in the future, could bring some value there.
Awesome. So we've had our appetizer. Let's go ahead and get to the main course. Let's go ahead and get to the reason why we are all here. Like Marshawn Lynch always says, you know why I'm here. You know why I'm here. But let's go ahead and dive into the draft. Who do you guys like? Who do you guys like at pick 19? That's one question. Do you trade up? Do you trade down? Do you stay put? I'm going to start with Longley on this one.
So I would definitely like to move up. I'm not a quarterback or bust person, but I just feel like the things are just falling in place right now with whatever San Francisco is thinking. I don't know what's going on in the Bay Area. I don't know why they're going down this path, but it looks like they're going down the Mac Jones route. And Carolina didn't trust the process, and they went after Darnold, and now we're seeing Jimmy G might be going to New England. It's like it's all just kind of falling into place, man. It's just like we got an extra third. Like let's try and get in there. Maybe it's 7 or 8, and maybe get a Lance, maybe get a Fields. That's what I'd love to see. But if we stay at 19, I think it overwhelmingly leans linebacker or what has become my kind of personal favorite pick, and just kind of came out of the blue in the last couple of days was the idea of Trevor Morg at safety at 19. That one's really interested me, man, because you can have Curl in the box and Morg back playing deep, and that is a complete unit right there.
And I know me and Kevin talked about it a little bit today, because you can even trade back a couple times in the first and still get Morg. So I think Morg is the best safety in the draft. I will not be mad even if we took him in 19. I know, oh, a safety in 19, but look, we're not the only team that needs a safety, okay? I remember the year when Savage from Maryland came out, and I wanted that guy, and Green Bay took him, I think, at the end of the first. He didn't even make it to the second. If we want a Morig or a Richie Grant, look, it's either we take them in the first, trade back and take them in the first, or we trade up in the second. I'm telling you, both of those guys might not make it to pick 51. So to me, those are the two best safeties in the draft that I want. I do like Cisco. I do like Cisco. I like what I see when he's healthy. When he's healthy, he gets takeaways. So, Kevin, Hicks, talk to me about what do you think we do at 19? What would you want? Up, down, stay put?
What's really fascinating is that we're in a position where all of the scenarios kind of make sense. All three, trading up would make sense, staying put would make sense. And Manny, you know, you and I, we've done a bunch of these mock drafts on the simulators. And what we've gotten really good at doing was trading back multiple times, picking up extra picks, and then just coming out with this all-star draft team that we just absolutely love. I don't know that they'll do that, but the idea of picking up an extra second and third is kind of fascinating, because it makes it so that you can get those guys that are kind of luxury picks, like some of these tight ends that are going in the second and third round, or some of these, you know, you can get decent linebackers in the second, like Cox and you see Jameen Davis going anywhere from first round to mid second. We like later linebackers like Chaz Surratt, you know, where you can get him in maybe the third, right? So I think that although linebacker is very sexy, and I have been on the JOK train, now that we see that everyone kind of has warts and, you know, pluses and minuses, you know, I have started to become more partial to the, hey, why not trade back and get more bites at the apple? But I love the idea of trading up and getting a quarterback, because hopefully we're even better this year than we were last year. And so we won't be in a position to draft a really good quarterback again next year. So I can understand Longley's idea about moving up, because if you get a quarterback this year, if it's someone like Lance, who I love, by the way, who needs some time to develop, well, you've got a very smart, capable quarterback this year that can get us through, let Lance develop for a year, and we're in business next year. If all goes according to plan, we'll be picking later than 19 this time next year. So I like that idea as well. So if I'm running the organization and I see some of these guys start to slide, it's pretty tempting to trade up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for me,
if those guys don't slide, then I actually entertain trading down. So
for me, it's only two guys that I'm willing to trade up for that are non-quarterbacks. And number one is Pitts. Number two is Micah Parsons. But that does not mean trading a first round. That means moving up and trading like a second or a third to get one of those guys. If you put a Micah Parsons with this defense, it's lights out.
It's one of those things. I don't know why everyone's knocking Parsons. I mean, you know, he was so high, ran a great 40. I mean, he popped on tape and everything. And then lately everyone's been saying, you know, he's got these issues that need to be addressed and so forth. You put Micah Parsons with this defensive front that we have, it is downright scary. Ridiculous. He's the only linebacker, you know, forget the Davis and JOK, he's the only person that if we have a few picks, you know, if it gets to 15 and he's still on the board, I would even be willing to trade up a little bit just to make sure we get him at that point.
Exactly. And that's what I mean by trading up. I don't mean like going from 19 to like 7 or 8, you know, for Parsons. I'm talking about if he slips outside of the top 10, it's game on, baby. It's game on because he's a game changer. He's a game changer.
There's he's some guys a monster. In this
draft. There's some guys in this draft that are generational talents, and I think that he's one of them. That's just my opinion. I think that if you add him to this defense, it's like, what weaknesses do we have? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I understand we have some issues on the offensive end, but I'm going to go ahead and kick it over to Phil and then talk more about the draft. But yeah, Phil, talk to me about what do you think, what do you want to for us to do at 19? I mean, it's so many scenarios.
Yeah, there's a ton of scenarios. I mean, you could see 5 quarterbacks go within the top 7 picks. You could see 2 linemen go. You could see a couple of pass catchers go. I'm hearing Miami loves Waddle. So the Slim Reaper could fall to us at 19. And you're not telling me somebody's going to trade up for Devontae Smith? Exactly. Okay, come get our pick. I'll trade back. Exactly. And I'm going to take the do-it-all safety in the back end of the round, and I'm taking Trevon Moehrig. And that's what I did in my mock today, right before I finished this, before I did this pod. I traded back, picked up an extra 3rd and an extra like 6th, or a 6th because we don't have one. And I took Trevon Moehrig because I love Richie Grant. I think he's a ball hawk back there, but Moehrig is the
different level.
Safety in the class. He does it all. He can he tackles, he doesn't take bad angles, and you know how our free safeties take bad angles. Troy Apke, Mr. I can't stand.
Isn't that your cousin? We're talking about your cousin like that, man. Come on, man. Come on, man.
I'm a better tackler than Troy Apke.
I think we all are. I think my 4-year-old is.
But Trevon Moehrig, like I've watched more and more on him. I'm a big fan of Moehrig. Unless Smith falls to us and we don't trade back, I could see Devontae Smith fitting in our system as well.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I'm okay with Devontae Smith. I'm okay with Moehrig. I'm okay with in terms of linebacker, we all wanted Xavier Collins. Now he's more of a defensive line now, being too savvy. I know, too many twinkies. You know what I'm saying? So at this point, it's like that Xavier Collins at 19. Look, I'm like, nah, I'm good. And I've not been in on JOK, but now I'm like, look, hey, JOK, if you can eat a few more Twinkies, get a little bit bigger, you know what I'm saying? So that way you don't get run over. But JOK, when you watch his film, he's explosive. He makes plays, but it's just the size that worries me. You know, he has the instincts. And when I look at JOK, correct me if I'm wrong, I see – like Cam Carl, but better, like in terms of tackling, because Cam Carl is a smaller, he's a smaller guy. Yeah. And when you watch Cam Carl tackle, he gets it done, but he's little, but he wraps up. So when I look at JOK, he makes tackles, but I don't see him like knocking folks out, at least the videos that I've seen. So Phil, talk to me about JOK.
He's the best. I think he's the best defensive player in the draft. I think he's phenomenal. I like him over Parsons. I'm not a Parsons guy. I just something about him. It's not his character. I don't think he's good in coverage. Yes, he can run. Yes, he can blitz. I just don't think he fits our versatile scheme. Like, you know, Rivera wants versatility, and I don't think he fits that mold. Now, you put Jock, Cam Curl, and Landon Collins on the field at the same time, because Jock will play. He'll be our starting will. He will definitely start at the will backer. He's 215, 220. How many running backs are going to run over a 220, 220-pound guy? Not many. Right. Derrick Henry, maybe Najee Harris when he gets into the league. But there's not many running backs that are going to run him over. And not many quarterbacks. I mean, I don't worry about him getting run over too much because he can cover your tight end. He can stay with your running backs in the flat. Like I said, Jock is my number one defensive guy in the draft. And I think he goes before 19.
I mean, that's very, very possible. It's very possible. I think that Jock has been rising. JOK, everybody is on the JOK train now. Everybody knows what he can do. And to, like right now, right after Michael Parsons, who's still my number one, I think he's right there at number two. You have guys like Jamin Davis, who's rising. You know, you got guys like Nick Bolton you can get in the second, maybe third round, Sage Surratt of the world, and some other linebackers out there. Yeah. But even Cox, Jabril Cox, I like him too. So, but with signing, with trading for Ereck Flowers, it changes everything because you don't have to go, you know, versatility guard, because we were looking at Tucker, Elijah Vera Tucker. Now, you know, you don't have to go that route. And like you say, Phil, Ron Rivera loves players that can play multiple positions. So I kind of feel you on that. But the reason why I'll take Parsons over a JOK is because Parsons will be that leader. He'll be that quarterback of that defense. He'll be that pure middle linebacker. Yes, he's going to probably be only in that spot. But like you said, JOK can play all over the place. And having, you know, Landon Collins and Curl and JOK, those are some pretty good tacklers. I know everybody's knocking Landon Collins right now, which is the next topic we're going to talk about. What do we do with Landon Collins this year? I'm going to start with Hicks on this one.
So that one is interesting because we can say whatever we want. It's going to depend on whether or not he's willing to do what the coaches want him to do. And usually from what I've seen from Rivera historically, if the player doesn't want to do what the coaches think is best for the team, he's not going to be there very long. So, you know, we can fantasy book what to do with Landon Collins all day long. If a coach tells him, I want you to play linebacker, he says, I'm not playing linebacker, he's not going to be on the team. So, you know, I think that makes it really for me, I think that the whole thing about whether or not he was going to play linebacker and him resisting that, I think that coming out before the draft was very significant because I think that influences whether or not they're comfortable picking someone like JOK who can do that thing that they're asking him to do. If he was willing to do that, I think that they'd say, okay, we may not need this particular guy because we have someone who can do that. And then that would open the door to get someone like Trevon Moore. But knowing what's going to happen with Landon Collins is, I think, in my opinion, probably a big key to understanding what we're going to do with that first pick. You know, either getting someone like a JOK who can be that chess piece that they're asking Landon Collins to be, or if we need to say, okay, you're not going to be with us on the team anymore, let's go ahead and look at your replacement.
So I have a great point right here. Brandon said that Parsons was hardly used in coverage his first two seasons in college. Now, I'm not the biggest college guy, okay? I get into draft mode and I do my homework, but Longley, what do you think about this statement right here?
I think it's kind of true. The knock on Parsons is not so much his ability or whether he's good. I mean, there are some people who brought up the attitude and everything, and you know that's whatever. I'm not worried about that. The issue is the positional value that he would bring, and that what people discuss when it comes to Parsons is that, I mean, you could potentially be looking at a Pro Bowl will linebacker, a Pro Bowl outside linebacker in his abilities. The difference is that people that want to pick a linebacker in the top 10 or potentially top 15, they want a Mike. They want a guy who's going to be the anchor of the defense. They want London Fletcher. They want the quarterback of the defense. And what the all 22 tape and all that shows of Micah Parsons is that while he is explosive as all hell, getting people down and breaking through blocks, he's a little slow to recognize coverages and a little slow to recognize routes and some schemes, which is okay if you're an outside linebacker. I mean, it's not ideal, but like, you're kind of in pursuit mode as an outside linebacker. Whereas if you're in the middle, which is where most of that value is, which is where Ron Rivera's Luke Kuechly is and that Ray Lewis is you're able to dissect what the offense is going to do by the time the quarterback's dropping back. So I think that's where he's been knocked down a little bit in regards to his value. But I mean, he'll still be a phenomenal player. I think our coaching staff is savvy enough to recognize what his skill sets are and to put him in the right places. But our past defensive coordinators, they would be the type to say, well, we drafted you here, you're going to be a middle linebacker. And then all of a sudden people would be wondering, like, why is he getting beat in coverage? Why is he like hitting the wrong gaps? Like, and so that's where I think the critique would be. I think it takes a more knowledgeable and honest defensive coordinator to really show how great Micah Parsons can be.
Absolutely. And somebody mentioned, I think also mentioned, we need a Ray Lewis type MLB. And I don't know if there's any Ray Lewis types in this draft. I mean, it's still early. It's still early. Peter says, man,
he's the number one overall pick.
Yes, sir. Hey, shout out to Peter, man. You guys go out and check out his show, man. Hey, sub to his YouTube channel. He's off the chain. One of my very good friends. I can't wait for the draft. Hey, Peter, I'm having a stream tomorrow, so pull up, bro. Pull up, hop on the mics, man. So we need a linebacker. Go ahead, Hicks.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that about Parsons, because to Phil's point, it kind of highlights what is kind of special about JOK. I don't know if you guys have had an opportunity to look at JOK's breakdown, not just his highlights, but there's a video somewhere on YouTube that's saying why JOK is the best linebacker in this draft. And it's a really interesting watch. And they break down how Notre Dame played last year. They played a very base defense where he stayed on a particular side. He didn't shadow the receiver or anything like that. If there was a slot receiver on his side of the field, he covered him. And if there was no receiver there, he attacked, right? But he was left with the responsibility of diagnosing. And he was flexible. He would cover just like a corner, or he would attack. He would shoot the gaps. And his ability to assess what was happening on the defense led it to where they didn't even need a nickel on his side of the field, mm-hmm. because he functioned as that nickel. And if there was no need for a nickel, he functioned as that linebacker. And that's such a valuable piece to have on your defense. And when you're out in the open like that, you know, you don't really have to worry about getting banged on by the 300 pounders, you know. So honestly, I think with the way that our team is set up, considering that the tight ends are going to have to help chip these elite defensive ends that we have, and, you know, they may have to double team people on the inside. I mean, it just feels to me like a situation in which our defensive line opens up huge gaps for slashing linebackers. I just see a lot of opportunity there if we went that direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's look at the second round. We are at pick 51. Is there a scenario we trade up, trade down, stay put? I mean, it's kind of like the same question in every single round because, you know, there's some wide receivers that I want. I know that wide receiver is not the biggest need for the team. Of course, you have linebacker, you have safety, you have left tackle. I mean, we need everything. Tight end. Tight end is important, okay? But let's talk about the second round. What would you guys like to be done in the second round?
Who do you want to go?
let's go Hicks.
I think it depends on what we do in the first round. I think we can go any different direction. If we go linebacker in the first, then, you know, I think there's still some really good safeties on the board in second, or receivers. You know, I've been a big Elijah Moore guy, and I think that you could easily get him in the second. What's that?
I think he's going to first in Green Bay.
You think so? He's been. I've been seeing Green Bay looking at someone else. But yeah, I mean, some people like Elijah Moore, Rondell Moore have been rising or whatever. But You know, if we could get someone like that in the second, if we go defense in the first, I like the idea of going offense in the second. If we end up, you know, with Darisaw somehow in the first, like we go offense, then I like going linebacker in the second. There's also a few safeties that are going to be on the board that are pretty talented, assuming that we don't get Morgan in the first. There's a couple safeties that I feel really comfortable with in the second. You know, and then – you know, I just am kind of a fan of going whatever the opposite of what we did in the first round. So if we went linebacker in the first, I like going offense in some capacity in the second if we went defensive, you know, and vice versa.
So maybe linebacker in the first, maybe wide receiver in the second. DC Big also said that JOK reminds him of the linebacker that Ron Rivera had. So do you guys think that JOK is it Keekly? Or Davis. Probably Davis.
About Davis.
I think he's probably talking about Shaq Thompson.
Okay.
I think he's probably talking about Shaq Thompson.
Shaq Thompson had a lot of versatility.
Okay.
Yeah, guy that's who I would be talking about if I'm Big Oso. That's who – I mean, that's where I would use Jock as the way he used Shaq Thompson.
But, yeah, Jock is an even more special athlete. Shaq Thompson's a really good athlete. Yeah. And Jock is – you know, he just pops. He just – see him, he really, really pops on screen. So, yeah,
absolutely. So, Phil, talk to me about second round. Somebody just William Rogers Jr., hey, welcome to the show, brother. He said Tommy Tremble. Talk to me about, too early, right? Talk to me, what do we do? What do we do in the second round?
All right. So, if you go, say, Jock or say, I like in my draft, I went Morig. Mm-hmm. I actually went linebacker in the second round. Okay. I took Nick Bolton. I took the quarterback of our defense. Right in the middle of the field, I think the middle of the field, you fix free safety and you fix middle linebacker, we're set. And I got a later linebacker that you can put outside as well in the draft as well. But that's where I went. I'm best player available. It doesn't matter offense, defense to me. I'm best player available. But wide receiver is so deep in this draft. You're going to get impact wide receivers with our third round pick or with our fourth round pick. Or there's guys that are going to be really, really talented. I'm going to drop a name in the seventh round that is just like he is a freak of nature. Okay. So
I think I might know that name, but hold on to that. I think I might know that name.
I've got a wild card for the second round.
Okay, talk to me.
What if Javonte Williams is at 51? Too early. I run that ball.
Too early, and this is why. No. I rather go running back in the third. That's a sweet spot. I rather the tight end from Penn State in the second round. That's just me. I think that after Kyle Pitts, he's the best all-around tight end.
He goes early. Every mock I've done, he's gone early. Early in the second.
Yeah, early second.
Freiermuth, you're not getting. That's why I would target like Brevin Jordan, Tommy Tremble.
Exactly.
Hey, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Javonte Williams is a dog. Javonte Williams is a dog, man. I think
you know my love for Javonte.
He's a third best running back in the. And look, we're coming out with a running back in this draft. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like a running back will happen. It's just all about value. It's all about value.
You want me to tell you the one that I think that we should get?
Talk to me.
I like Kenneth Gainwell from Oklahoma. Reunite him with Antonio Gibson.
That's my guy.
So Kenneth Gainwell, he can catch the ball out the backfield. He can run it. I like that in the third round.
He'll be there in the third, and that's the guy. I like him, and I like Ramondre Stevenson. He's probably going to be there maybe in the fifth, maybe fourth, fifth. Fourth. I'm saying fifth. He's going to be there in the fourth. So
yeah, I don't think that's calls me fifth.
Yeah, sweet spot for running backs for me is third, fourth. And if we can get a Gainwell, that would be awesome. I'm sorry about that. talk to me, Longley.
Man, you guys are speaking my language of Phil. Phil, you just rattled off all my dreams for the second round. That's exactly what I would
this
want.
This is my thing, dude. This is me.
Yeah. Yeah, but that Nick Bolton, you know, when I think about Nick Bolton, that's such a great pick in the second round, because when I see him, he is a hammer. You know who he reminds me of? Is he would be our London Fletcher, our 2021 mm-hmm. London Actually Fletcher brought back, because he's so instinctual and he's a smaller guy, but he's stocky and he delivers a blow. So I really like Nick Bolton. I think that would be a great pick. But as you said, it depends on what happens in the first, as well as what's available, because you don't want to go total best player available and draft something that's not a need at all. But at the same time, if you get great value in the second, I just have a feeling, because this happens every year, there's going to be some guy we were certain was going to go in the 20s who all of a sudden's midway through the second round, and we're like, how did he get here? It could be like DK Metcalf, how that happened a couple of years ago, and all of a sudden he's in the third round. So I think there is going to be some sort of value like that. Maybe a Jabril Cox starts to fall. Maybe a Jamin Davis, who I personally love. Jamin Davis. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. But Jamin,
I'll be shocked. Jamin,
Jameen, whatever.
I'll be bored if he's there at 51.
Absolutely.
Davis is an absolute. I mean, look, I've seen Davis in mocks go in the teens, but I've also seen Davis in the third round. So he's all over the place, and that's a guy. I mean, he was guarding Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts, and going toe to toe with them. If you watch the tape between them against Florida, I mean, he can really cover. And the difference is, while he's not quite as athletic as Jock, he's 6'4". So that whole component of, all right, well, what about the size thing? He almost is Jock with the size, but not quite as athletic. So those I would look at, and Javonte Williams would be a monster. I think that's the right value for him, but not the right value for us. So we don't want to jump quite that high. But yeah, I really have been looking mainly at linebackers in the second round. But obviously, all that changes, and I think you can go that wide receiver route. You can even go. And I'll just throw this out. I know a lot of people disagree, because we got a good start in two, but this is a great cornerback class. And if one of these good corners drops, keep in mind, Kendall Fuller is good, but he's not a Pro Bowler. And we've got these guys in 2 years, it's a need again, or one injury, it's a need again. And there's been rumors of Farley falling. There's been, you know, Asante Samuel Jr. is a ball hawk, and he could fall. Like, those are guys that could add not only immediate depth, but could create a long-term solution so that corner never comes back as a need for us. So absolutely, all options on the table.
Farley's right, off my board.
His so I want to pause, because we got some pretty good comments in the comment section. And this question goes to Phil. Big Oso says, do you think it makes sense to draft a quarterback later in a draft as a project? I'll throw that to you, Phil, because I've seen you do some mocks, and I've seen you take a guy like Shane Bouchel, who we both like. But for me, I personally don't even think we need a project quarterback. We have two already on the roster. But yeah, I'll let you speak on that.
It once again depends on how the board falls. If Kellen Mond is there in the fourth, you got to start thinking about that, because Kellen Mond is really talented. He can run. He's got a cannon for an arm. Doesn't have it all, like his footwork and stuff like that, but, you know, he worked on his mechanics sitting a whole year behind Fitzpatrick or even Heinicke. I mean, we forget about Taylor Heinicke, but, I mean, he's a good backup. He's going to be right behind Fitzpatrick. So if we did take a later round quarterback, barring those unforeseen injuries, you don't even have to play him this year. And that's, like you said, even with moving up for Trey Lance. Right. Trey Lance needs to sit for a year. Mm-hmm. He needs to sit for a year and work on some things. He short arms some balls. I like that he doesn't miss high, like Cam Newton. I almost said scam like I usually do. Cam Newton, he misses a little high. You know, Cam Newton misses high. Dwayne Haskins misses high. That's interceptions. Trey Lance drives the ball low. So if you want a guy to miss, you want him to miss low so it's not picked off. But he's not he's not the most accurate guy, and his mechanics are a little rough. But his ceiling, I think Trey Lance's ceiling is just insane, insanely high. I hate to say it. He looks like – he kind of looks like him, but he – I think he's Mahomes type, Mahomes-like to me. Can run. But Kellen Mond, if he fell to the fourth round, would be someone I would take. Like somebody I think's commented, like I think Brandon put Mills in the second. No.
Yes. No. Yeah, I just saw that, and that was my – that was the next comment that I was going to put up. Hicks, talk to me about Mills. Everybody is on this Mills train.
I don't have anything to say about him. I'm good.
I'm not saying for us, but I don't even understand why he's jumping up, why he's climbing.
I don't either.
He's your big prototypical NFL quarterback.
And how did that work out for old boy in Denver? Whether we're talking about Osweiler or what's the other guy that didn't work out. Like, I don't care about big prototypical size. I don't care about that. I want to see, can you consistently play? Can you throw a team on your back and win the game by yourself? If you don't do that, then I don't want you as an NFL quarterback. That's just, you know, because as an NFL quarterback, we've had game managers, you know, for years. When was the last guy that we had outside of RG3's rookie year that literally throws the team on their back and will win the game? You know, Cousins did it a couple times, but could we count on him to do that consistently? No. The elite teams have your Brady's, your Mahomes, your, you know, whatever, who win the game for you. The only quarterback outside of the top five that I would even waste a roster spot on, to be honest, is Trask, maybe in the fourth. But I don't like the idea of taking the late developmental quarterbacks, because then it almost puts pressure on you to make them your starter the following year. And I believe that a starting quarterback should probably be one of, at the very least, the best five in their particular draft class, as opposed to saying, okay, next year we're going to play the seventh best quarterback from last year as our starter. New England tried to do that, and, you know, what did they get last year? Yeah. And they had to sign Cam Newton because what's the guy's name out of New England? Stidham.
Jared Stidham.
Yeah, Stidham.
Yeah, exactly. Stidham. They tried to do that with Stidham. And
trash.
What did you get from him? You know, I think that if you're not one of, at the very minimum, the five best quarterbacks in your draft class, you're probably not going to have a very prestigious NFL career. There are some exceptions, obviously, but I don't like the false sense of satisfaction that having a developmental fourth to seventh round quarterback.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think you get much out of that. I will say that I think Kyle Trask is a horrendous option for us.
It's funny. My brother was he's a huge Trask guy, and I watched the tape, and I was just like, to me, he looks like Daniel Jones to me.
I
don't mean that wheels. As a compliment. Yeah,
without the wheels.
Without the wheels, right? Yeah. Daniel Jones.
So Longley, I have a question for you. This one's for you right here. Brandon says, why do we take a receiver in the second after signing Samuel and Humphreys? Talk to me, because I feel like wide receiver is a very important position. We have a whole bunch of Jags on the team. We have a whole bunch of depth guys on the team. We need the real deal guys. Talk to me about wide receiver.
Absolutely. Well, beyond just wide receiver, there's a whole philosophy about this that I pertain to when it comes to how you build an NFL roster, and that's you're always taking the best available talents. We mentioned this just a few minutes ago. You don't want to completely blow off a need and you know, do so ignorantly. But if you have the ability to get a star, your needs change by the week. A year ago, through week 8, we thought free safety, we were going to spend our first 5 picks trying to find a free safety. Like it was the only need that we cared about. Like we only were focused on Troy Apke. And then Cameron Curl plays pretty well. And we're like, okay, well, I guess safety is a need. Maybe like your needs change constantly. For all we know, the 49ers saw it last year. We're one bad turn away from edge rusher being a need. You never know when your need is up. You know, we all have our thoughts on the Dallas Cowboys, but one thing I do like about them is that for offensive line, I remember when they had solidified that line to the point it was the best I could remember in recent memory, and it's just like, oh, well, they're done. They're done. And then what do? They add Lyle Collins. And then they keep adding to that group. They spent a second-round pick on the guy Connors, I believe, who can really play. And they keep loading up. And then look what happens. You have Tyron Smith's neck starts giving out, and Travis Frederick gets this disease, and he has to quit. And so – but they're still in a good position because they never let their foot off the gas. And so if we say, okay, well, we've got McLaurin and Samuel. Okay, well, you're one injury away from them not being there. You're 2 years away from McLaurin getting offered ridiculous money somewhere else. Or and you know, Humphreys is like, you know, he's a nice addition, but he's a guy. You know, he'll fill a role and that he'll be in and out. So if you have the opportunity to get a guy who's of a McLaurin level, and you could have, you know, a three-headed monster. Look, the Bucs just re-signed Antonio Brown despite having what they already have. They know what it's like to have depth. They know you want to have the most talent possible. And if the best player in the second round is a wide receiver, just take it. Just take it. And in the long run, you're going to be happy that you did.
Absolutely. I've got an analogy for you on that real quick. So would you rather have 6 bullets in a gun or 2 bullets in a gun?
I mean, that's real. That's real.
I think it's absolutely right. And to even further that point, specific to our wide receivers, you know, Samuel, he can work on the outside. He can also work on the inside. And, you know, like to your point, Humphreys has had some flashes. He's had some really good moments. He worked well with Fitz a couple years ago, and he did okay in spurts with Tennessee. But no one says, oh, we got Adam Humphreys, like we're set for the next 4 years. Like no one says that, right? You know, so at the end of the day, if you get a guy that can play outside, that lets you be more creative with Samuel, run him in the slot and do all that kind of stuff, then you do that. It's the same reason why, say, for instance, for whatever reason, say J.C. Horn were to fall to 19, take him in a heartbeat, right?
Oh, yeah,
because
take him and move Fuller to Fuller to safety.
No, Will Fuller operates really well out of the slot. You know, I think that's a really good analogy for what we're doing here because, you know, if you give that flexibility, you have a guy who's a dog on the outside now. Mm-hmm. And you can let Fuller operate out of the slot, it makes your whole defense better. I think that you can do that same thing on the offensive side of the ball. If you get another threat on the outside and it gives you some versatility and flexibility with what you can do in the slot, it just makes the whole team better overall, in addition to the very, very good depth arguments that you guys already made.
If J.C. Horn's there at 19, we should sprint that card to the front.
Sprint, yeah, run.
Absolutely. Because
then you have two press corners with our pass rush, William Jackson and J.C. Horn pressing the. We don't run much. We didn't run much press last year, but I guarantee you get J.C. Horn and William Jackson, they'll change our defense to a press man.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Phil, I'll tell you this. Somebody's falling to 19. If we stay put, I know we're talking about this guy and this guy and that guy. It's so much talent in the top 20 that I'm okay with any talent that drops to us at 19. I'm telling you right now, somebody's going to fall, and we're going to be like falling down the steps like the president, you know, as he was going up the plane. he was so excited.
No, but seriously though, you have to take advantage of that, because if you can get a superstar, that's so much better than a guy who's just pretty good but he fills a need. I remember once again, bringing up the Cowboys. I don't know why I keep bringing them up, because they suck and they're the ultimate 8-8 franchise. But at the same time, I remember last year, I want any excuse to rag on my Cowboy fan friends. And so when they picked CeeDee Lamb, I was like, on the surface, I was just like, your defense is going to be trash. You still passed on defense. And a year later, they're just like, which defender do you wish that we had taken, right? That because you have no answer for CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup. So yeah, when you can load up like that, you sprint to the podium. And by the way, JC Horn, that would be the kryptonite to the Cowboys trio right there.
Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing.
Hey, appreciate you, AJ, man. He says, this is great. He can't sleep. We're going to try to keep this going as long as we can. Yeah, I'm having a great time. This is great conversation. This is a great conversation. But I want to talk wide receivers, because that's my favorite position. And wide receivers, man, they are game changers, and you can get some really good ones in this draft. So I want to go around the frames. I'm going to start with Phil. Give me a guy that you like and what round. So you can't just tell me I like this guy. You got to tell me the guy that you like and what round. Give me two guys.
Come on, man. I could give you a guy I like in every round at every pick.
Okay. Okay. Let's go. Let's hear it.
All right. So second round, let's say De'Ami Brown, Rondale Moore.
Okay.
You get Rondale Moore and throw him in the slot and move Samuel back outside. That's three weapons with Terry. You're not going to be able to cover. Rondale Moore is a beast. Five nine, 5'10", and he can squat 600 and some pounds. That's just insane to me.
Yes, it's like Brandon Cooks with power.
Yeah. Brandon Cooks that'll run your butt over. At your third round pick, let's say you got Nico Collins. Nico Collins, Austin Watkins. I know everybody's like Sammy Watkins, and he's family with Sammy, but Austin Watkins from UAB is going to be a baller in the NFL. Fourth round, you got those guys as well. Fifth, you've got Daz Newsome from North Carolina. As you can tell, I'm a North Carolina fan. I know these guys. Daz Newsome, if we draft Daz Newsome, they immediately cut Steven Sims. Because Daz Newsome immediately becomes your best returner on your team. Mm-hmm. He's dynamic as a returner. Right. And he also –
I think if they signed me, they immediately cut Steven Sims.
He had a nice toe drag against him.
But he's got stone hands. His efficiency of catching the ball is ridiculous. And then around the sixth and seventh rounds, got a guy from Charleston University in West Virginia. Oh. His name's Michael Strawn. He is like 6'5", runs like a 4.3 40. He is just insanely, insanely talented. I know we got Antonio Gandy-Golden, and he's smart, and he can run. He's improving as a route runner. But Michael Strawn is just like – I've never seen anything like this kid. That or a kid from Florida State, Tamorian Terry. The reason he's fallen down is because – him and Mike Norvell, they didn't get along very well, and he ended up opting out or, character issues. But if you can take a guy that's 6'4", runs a 4.3 40 in the seventh round, give me Tamorian Terry.
Man. Let's go to Kevin, man. Let's go to Kevin Hicks real quick, man. Give me your guys and give me what rounds. I mean, we talked a little bit today. So
we did.
There's going to be a guy that you say, and when you do, I'm going to ask you a question about that guy, but go ahead.
Okay, let's go for it. So you know who my two guys are. Assuming that we don't draft a receiver in the first three rounds, there's two guys that I have my eye on that I think that we could get in the fourth. And in some instances, it looks like even fifth round, but that's in fourth. One of those is going to be Tylan Wallace from Oklahoma State. And the other is Jalen Darden.
Pause. So, first of all, how tall is Tylan Wallace?
He's not super tall.
Six foot one.
Hey, Corey, I like this receiver. We're gonna talk about this receiver from Charleston. We're gonna talk about that receiver in a minute.
Thanks. Hey, I appreciate it, franchise.
Yes, sir. But okay. Jalen Darden, right? He is 5'9", the most shiftiest guy in the draft, in my opinion. The guy is twitchy, shifty. You can't even catch this guy. The guy goes, he's a blur.
Everyone gets on him about his speed, but if you can't put a finger on him, it doesn't really matter that he's not, you know, a 4.2 guy. Like, his athleticism is off the charts.
Here's how I describe him. He's like a Tariq Cohen and Tyreek Hill put together, but a great value form. Until he proves himself in the NFL. I'm not going to say, oh, this is the next Tyreek Hill. He could be. I'm not doubting him because, well, Tyreek Hill went, what, fifth round? So, Kevin, with the size of our receivers, and you see a Jalen Darden, tell me how he fits in with the football team.
Well, you've got a guy who wins with his route running in McLaurin, right? You've got a great Swiss Army knife kind of piece with Samuel, right? Samuel always looks smaller than he really is. It's funny because when I look at Samuel, he looks like he's kind of a little guy, but as it turns out, he's, you know, close to 6 foot, whatever. It depends on what happens with AGG and Harmon, because those are supposed to be your size guys. The word that I'm getting on Darden is that the knock on him, at least, is that he's a slot receiver that doesn't have great speed, and that's a bad combination. To me, if you can play ball, you can play ball. And this dude looks like he can play ball. He's not slow. He runs away from him. He's got great hands. He makes people miss on every play, almost without exception. It's crazy. Right. And so you get the ball in the hands of a guy who can take a 5-yard slant, make two people miss, and he's gone. That's a value on any team. So I just like talented players, and then he's a special teams weapon. You know, you give him that ball in space or a punt return or special teams. It's just a huge asset to your team. So if you can do something like that in the fourth or fifth round, like, I will be shouting it from the rooftops.
Right.
I don't think that size matters. Yeah, he's an absolute playmaker.
He's a playmaker. Hey, Longley, talk to me about the wide receivers you like and what round you'd like to get those guys.
Oh, I'll just bring up a couple. For one, a guy, Amari Rodgers out of Clemson, he could be more of like our second, third round pick, or maybe the fourth. Yeah, I see that with Kadarius Toney. I don't know if Kadarius Toney's going third round.
I don't want him in the first round, so he won't be there in the third.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think he'll be there in the second.
Yeah.
But as far as Amari Rodgers go, with both these guys, I like them, don't love them. With Amari Rodgers, I think he has a lot of home run capability. He's a really fast guy. He can play out of the slot. He can really play the deep ball well. And so in that regard, he's a dynamic weapon. On the other side, he hasn't shown a lot of great ability in short yardage situations, so that's why he's not higher up boards. So that would be kind of my concern with Amari Rodgers. And another guy that I'll throw out there is Ish Smith, who I could see more as like a fourth or fifth round pick. Now, the thing with Ish Smith, I'm forgetting. Yeah, from South Carolina. Chai, my bad. Chai Smith. You know, watching his tape, he's super physical. I mean, this dude takes so much contact when he gets hit. And he's very explosive between the numbers. So that's a guy that I would love to have around, because you know he's got the hands, you know he's got the physicality, you know he's got the explosiveness, so he can move the chains, and he can be a great red zone asset in that regard. The knock on him is that his route running is not all that perfected, and sometimes those hits are a little unnecessary. If he was being more disciplined in his route running, he wouldn't be taking such a big hit. He wouldn't have people draped all over him. But when I see the speed and when I see the catching ability, I think, okay, get him in the room with McLaurin, with Samuel, get him with our coaches. You can teach the route running to be a little bit more perfected. Knock on wood, because we got Steven Sims Jr. on the roster. But I would like to think that G could be a – he could – perfect his route running. But I think that's somebody that you can throw to down on the goal line and make some plays. So a couple more slot guys. And one component to that I will bring up is that for me, when I was looking at guys that I liked, I really wanted to find tall receivers because AGG would be great. But you know, we don't know what he is. Right. Really, Terrence Marshall would be
Terrence Marshall. But,
He's a phenomenal player. Oh. I don't see him being there when you know he'll be a first round pick.
If he's there at 51, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Oh, that's done. That's done. If he's there.
Yeah. 51. If he's there at 51, you take him.
I'm just saying the guy really is a monster.
What's the question?
Yeah.
He will be in an early second.
Yeah, I don't see him being a 51. But the thing that was encouraging, despite us not really having a lot of tall receivers, is if you look at some of the most explosive offenses in the NFL, they really lack a tall receiver. Kansas City is the most explosive. They don't have tall receivers. Baltimore has a great offense. Their receivers need a little bit of work, but none of them are particularly tall. And so you're seeing this trend as we're starting to see offenses. San Francisco is another one where they're letting the tight end be the big hands, the ones that go up and get it, and they're letting all the receivers be around 6 foot and below and just going and making plays because speed is the hardest thing to cover. So I'm not overly concerned about us not having some TO-sized receiver that can go up and get it.
Yeah, look how good Buffalo was last year. And I mean, you know, Gabriel Davis, the tallest receiver, he barely played. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, who knows about this wide receiver from Charleston that Corey's talking about? I've seen a little bit about him.
I think it's a 6'4 guy.
Yeah, that's the one I mentioned in the seventh round.
Yeah.
Yeah, and from what I saw, when I looked at the numbers, I don't know if it's the same guy, but he had like 17 touchdown seasons and stuff like that.
Yeah,
as a D2 school, and that's how you're supposed to dominate. When you're coming from a D2 school, you're supposed to dominate. You're supposed to be having double digit, you know, touchdowns. Like if you guys go and look at Cooper Kupp's college numbers, oh my gosh. It made me want to cry. I saw like 20-something touchdowns and like 1,800 yards. You know, that's domination, you know. And those were some of the qualities that I saw in the Antonio Gandy Golden. I know since year one, he did dominate in a smaller school. So when you dominate against your competition and your peers, you know, it puts you like, okay, you're the best of the least. Like, you know, you're playing in a smaller school, but you're the best of the least, you know. And that's – there's going to be some guys that go sixth, seventh round that, you know, but I'm done with those sixth or seventh round guys. I want, if I'm getting a receiver, please let it be in the first three rounds, max four. But yeah, so let's go ahead and switch gears a little bit. Big also said that we didn't mention a defensive player in terms of pass rusher. You know, we do need some depth at pass rusher. And it seems like we didn't do anything in free agency in the edge. You know, Ryan Kerrigan is still out there. He can still possibly finish his career in D.C. Talk to me about edge. I'm going to start with Phil on this one. What do we do? What's the plan?
If we go edge, I'm a big fan of JSW. I think James Smith Williams will step in and be that third guy to help with the rotation. I like that he can play inside as well, but James Smith Williams, they said that he would run toe-to-toe at sprints with Montez Sweat. So he can ball. But if we go edge, I want to go later rounds. Looking at a guy, we'll go to the Ohio State, Jonathan Cooper. He's pretty explosive. Another one of those Ohio State pass rushers. You usually can't go wrong with that school when you get defensive ends. You know, Bosa brothers, Chase Young, Jonathan Cooper. A guy from a smaller school I like is Cameron Sample out of Tulane. Got good hands, explosive off the edge. That's the two guys I'd be targeting. But I wouldn't go pass rusher unless one of the elite pass rushers fall to us in the second round. I wouldn't go pass rusher before the fifth.
The fifth. I mean, we're so deep there. I mean, we're not deep there, but we're solid there. Whoever that you're bringing in is just coming in to be that third guy. You know, that swing edge, go, you know, right, left, or whatever. So, yeah, it is an important position. Kevin, talk to me. Do you see us doing anything in the draft in terms of pass rusher? Seventh round?
I personally don't. I mean, because, you know, we don't have a sixth rounder. We'd have the 2 third rounders. So we're looking at 7 picks still. Every single – and, of course, they don't pay me to, you know, mock draft for them. But every single mock draft that I've done, you know, those 7 picks have been largely – let's see, 2 linebackers generally, a safety, an offensive lineman, a receiver, a tight end, a running back, you know, give or take, you know, and, you know, of course, there's scenarios in which you'll trade back and get some extra picks and do whatever, you know, but those seem to be the positions, in my opinion, that are more pressing. As Phil mentioned, you drafted JSW last year. You know, give him a chance to actually play. It was hard enough to even get Kerrigan on the field, you know, a former Pro Bowler, because you've got 2 studs starting, right? You know, mm-hmm. So when you've drafted a guy last year, developed him in the same defensive line room, I think giving him an opportunity to show what he can do in those limited sample sizes for those couple plays here and there that you don't have young or sweat on the field is probably going to be plenty sufficient.
Now, another guy that's still on the roster is Tuhill as well, Casey Tuhill. He's still on the roster as well. So he played a lot of goal line on the ends.
Yeah. So I'm going to let's go ahead and get into the prediction time as we wrap up the show. We're going to go around the frames. Just give me your prediction of what happens day one. Day two. Let's just stick to day one, day two. Day three is kind of like, whoo. So let's stick to day one, day two, and just give me your final take. I'm going to start with Phil.
Day one, I want to go Trayvon Morig. I think that would be the way to go. I think that solidifying the back end of the defense takes us from top 8 to top 3. I mean, we'll be right there with the best in the league. We just solidify the back end. With our pass rush, Trayvon Morig becomes – we probably go back-to-back defensive rookie of the years. I wouldn't shock me one bit if that would be that would happen. Day two, I like either Dylan Reduns out of North Dakota State. Mm-hmm. I still think we should try to get an offensive tackle. I think Cornelius Lucas is best as a swing tackle. Bouncing back and forth between left and right, wherever he needs hurt. Reduns or somebody like De'Ami Brown or Rondell Moore.
Okay, love it, love it. Let's go Longley.
So I'd like to do something original, but I'm really on the Morig train, man. I really think he's an absolute monster, and it also fills a need. If not Morig, I would say JOK. And keep in mind, my number one option is if a Field slips, I want to jump up or Lance. If either of them slip and we don't have to mortgage the whole future, I'm really not afraid of giving up a future first. I know that sounds scary to people. It's the 2 future first that throws me. That's the flaw in San Fran's plan, in my opinion. But the 1 future first, you can bounce back from, especially if the quarterback's anything remotely close to what you're hoping he'll be. You won't even be thinking about that pick. So that's my number one hope. But if we stay pat, Morig is my guy. So if you get a safety there, I would not shy away from a defensive player or from a linebacker in the second round. I know that, you know, you got the safety, but you still have this big gap in between. You got the killer secondary at that point, a killer defensive line. But Nick Bolton, I think, would be an awesome move. And I think we could really anchor the middle of the defense to close that gap between the two. Or if a Jabril Cox falls, he's a lengthy dude who's pretty quick as well and can really hit the gap. So I like that idea as well. And yeah, Javante Williams is a monster. So that'd be nice to have that as part of the equation. And then as far as the third round goes, to know, it's hard to pick exactly who I would want, like, specifically, because there's going to be so many variables by the time you get there about who's around. So In terms of the third, I definitely want to hit the offensive line at that point, or a receiver if someone has fallen at that point. I'll throw out one name though, which might be too rich for the third round. It might be more of a fourth, fifth round pick, but I'm falling in love with this guy. What about a Kenny Yeboah out of Ole Miss? I'm absolutely loving this dude. He went from being an okay blocker to a mauler. He's got the length. He catches in traffic. He can really take a beating. He's got the same size as Brevin Jordan out of Miami. And so he's typically more of like a fourth round pick, but that's the beauty of having two thirds. You don't have to wait to see if your guy gets taken between the third and the fourth. You can maybe use that later pick on that. And I'd love to solidify tight ends so that we can go two tight end sets. Unless our Chilean friend ends up being the Chilean hope. But if not, I would, I'm all on the Yeboah train.
Awesome. And Hicks, man, talk to us.
Man, you guys are on point. I like where your head's at. I can almost certainly see it going either of those directions. And Kevin, you almost took my theory verbatim. I honestly think that this is going to be a scenario. I think Manny mentioned it earlier where someone falls, you know, people are going to trade up, people fall in love with someone, they're going to trade up. And we've benefited from that a couple of times in the past. When we got Allen, we were not expecting him to be on the board at that point, and we took him. I think we weren't expecting Montez Sweat to be on the board when we got the opportunity to trade up,
not at all, you
know, back into the first round and take him. So I think that it's going to be one of those situations where someone falls. Someone that we weren't expecting to get. I floated a J.C. Horn earlier. That was wishful thinking. But somebody is going to fall that we didn't think was going to be there.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that we end up landing somebody that we really had no idea that we were going to be having the opportunity to get. I can't put a name with that yet. I mean, a Horn would just I'd go to
sleep. It'd be amazing, man.
Smile on my face. You know, I love the linebackers that we talked about earlier. You know, I think we do great with both of them, you know, or either of them, you know what I mean? But I have a feeling that even though we've been mocking people like Darisaw and the linebackers, and I just really have a gut feeling that somebody unexpected is going to fall and we're going to get that guy. And it makes us redo the whole draft, makes us kind of rethink what we're doing in the second and third rounds. So wild card in the first, I'm not even going to put a name with it, but someone that we're going to be downright giddy about. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then in the second round, you know, I love, you guys mentioned Nick Bolton. Love that in the second round. Absolutely love that. I think that if we don't get one of those linebackers in the first, Bolton in the second is an amazing complimentary or consolation prize, whichever way it goes. Right. Third round is where I want to get an offensive playmaker and an offensive lineman. So that offensive playmaker could be someone like a Brevin Jordan, maybe. Who I really like personally. But again, our Chilean tight end makes it so that he may or may not be necessary. But he's a better blocker than Freiermuth, and so he's more likely to be a three-down back. But left up to me, I go with the most explosive wide receiver available in the third, and then I go with the offensive lineman, like you mentioned. I'll float a different name. I like Brady Christensen of BYU. I think that if you can get him in the third round, that's amazing, amazing value. And he's a day one starter candidate. I believe I read that he only allowed like three pressures all year, which is crazy. So
nice.
You're muted.
Can't hear you, Manny.
All right, so here is my prediction for the first four picks. My goal is to have four starters with those first four picks. Like, obviously, somebody falls to 19, that'll be great. I just saw Brandon say trading up for a quarterback is a waste of pick. Look, we haven't had a franchise quarterback in forever, and if you have a chance to get a franchise quarterback, you got to go get it. You know, if it's a Trey Lance or a Justin Fields, I'm all in. I'm hoping it's Justin Fields because the guy is a leader. The guy is going to be special. Justin Fields has a chance to be the best quarterback in this draft. Yes, I said it here on the Back Row Redskins show. Now, I would love to get an impact player at 19. Doesn't really matter if it's a linebacker, safety, whatever, impact player. Then in the second round, I want to get the next best available guy, whoever else that falls to 51, if we don't move up. Now, when we get to the third round, there are three key positions, and we can only make two picks. It's wide receiver, it's running back, and it's tight end. A lot of people are probably asking and thinking, why does Manny keep talking about wide receiver and running backs? Have y'all seen his offense? Did y'all see the offense last year? Was this offense any, you know, this, look, we keep investing on the defense and investing on the defense. That's great. We're going to shut people down. But guess what? We got to score points to win, right? You play to win the game. You don't play just to play it, right? So if we don't add any players offensively, we're just playing to just play, okay? So we definitely need a running back. You know what I'm saying? Gibson needs some help. And I was talking earlier about the player that wins the most with having a Flowers and Sheriff and Roulier in the middle. That's Antonio Gibson. Well, that's whoever else that we add in the running back, because we're going to be a power running team. If there's anything this team can do with this interior, it's some run blocking. You're going to see some holes created down the middle if Sheriff and Eric Flowers can replay together this year and they're healthy. So I would love to come out with a tight end or wide receiver or running back with the two third-round picks. And with the first two picks, just whoever is going to come in and make this team a winner, whether it's linebacker, whether it's safety, whether it's O tackle. We have a lot of needs, but within our needs, we need to take the best available. So –
Well, that's Manny, to support your point about the going running back or wide receiver, remember this time last year, there were some people that thought Antonio Gibson was a wasted pick. They thought, well, we have AP. We got Geis. How'd that go?
You know, that's why you take the best available.
We got Bryce Love, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, Bryce Manny, Love is taking us to the promised land, right? You want to hit three positions in the third round, right? You know how
No, no. I said there's three positions and we can only trade back. Okay, I got you.
You trade back and get that third round.
I feel you. Hey, if we can trade back at 51, if we can trade back at 19, I'm okay with that. I'm okay.
Trade back at 19, take more, pick up another third round.
Exactly. That's the best scenario.
How about we just do ourselves one favor and we just trade out of the second round and then we can give ourselves a better chance of actually hitting on these picks. let's just get rid of the second round pick. Trade it for this year's third, next year's third, and just let's not even touch it, man.
There you go. Brandon just did what I did. I was talking about my mock earlier. I hit Bolton in the second round and then I hit Chaz Surratt in the third round.
Yeah, so there's three linebacker positions. I don't feel good about any of them.
We have one.
You know, so we need linebackers. Look, if we come out this draft with two linebackers, I'm fine. If we come out this draft with two tight ends, I'm fine. If we come out this draft with two wide receivers, I'm fine. We need weapons at all facets of the game. There's a potential that we get a wide receiver that's strictly for special teams that's going to come in and give this special teams some juice. We need a player to just come in and be special. There's nothing special about our special teams. We just have teams. We don't even have a special team. It's just teams, okay? So we have lots of needs. This is a great show, great show. Appreciate everybody who was in the chats, Big Oso, Brandon, Corey from Warpath. On the Warpath, great YouTube channel. You guys got to check that out. William, I got to find his name. William Rogers Jr. We have AJSTP 003. So we had all these great guys come in and chime in, man. Once again, guys, this is the Back Row Redskins show. This is how we do it. We have fun. We talk, you know, Washington football. The draft is going to be awesome tomorrow. I do invite you guys tomorrow to come back on for the stream. We're going to be starting at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And we're going to have a blast, man. It's going to be fun. It's going to be amazing. And I'm also going to drop a link in the descriptions of this video. It's where you can play a game. You got to make 6 picks. If you make 6 perfect picks, you get $250 towards merchandise, and it's free to play. So it's like a parlay for those who bet, but it's free. You know, you just hop in, you make your 6 picks, you answer the 6 questions. If you get the 6 questions right, you get a chance to earn $250 towards merchandise. So, and that's something cool. I will drop that into into the description of this video. Phil, where can the people find you on social media?
You know, we got the fastest growing Redskins page on, or Washington football team fan page on Facebook at the Redskins Hub. Everybody join it. Hicks, Longley, come on, hit us up. We also have a Twitter page at Redskins Hub 1. We drop all kinds of content. We support Manny's podcast on our webpage or our Facebook page. So that's where you can find us.
Absolutely, man. Redskins Hub is great. They've made me like family. They just let me post, and man, we have a good time in the Redskins Hub Facebook page. So come in there. We can communicate. We can, hey, we got some heated topics at times. So it's just a good time. It's a good time on the Redskins Hub Facebook page. Kevin, where can the people find you on social media?
They can find me at Kevin Intellectual on Twitter. That's KevinTellectual. They can find me Kevin Intellectual on Twitter. I'll drop my thoughts here and there. Love chopping it up with you guys. Every time we get on here, Manny, all your guests are amazing. Phil, Kevin, really great chatting with you guys today. You guys are so knowledgeable. And so great to talk to. Look forward to getting together with you guys tomorrow during the live draft reaction show.
Absolutely. Kevin, man, where can the people find you?
So I'm at K Longley 21, no relation to Luke Longley. But I absolutely loved being a part of this, man. It's great having these conversations. And I mean, it's my favorite time of year, man. I'm looking forward to it. And look, Christmas. I will, at the behest of my day job, I'm diving into these conversations on Twitter all day. So whenever you want to talk, I'm all about it, man. And I can't wait for tomorrow.
Absolutely. And the way that this show came about, it was just real random. Kevin hopped in. Both Kevins just really hopped in last minute. You know, these are regulars on the show. So they, you know their stuff. It's just like, I'm not just picking up people from the streets and saying, hey, you know, come on the show. These guys know their stuff. And we just kind of just came together and decided to do this. Man, awesome show. The show's supposed to go for 1 hour. We've gone for 1 hour 36 minutes.
Hey, it's the day before the draft, man. It's
day before the draft.
Yeah, it's a special draft.
Everyone wants to fire up our draft day movie tomorrow to start warming up. You know, I like to watch draft day every year to get in the mood.
So this is the show. I think this is going to be the most watched show that I've ever done. I mean, this was real, real good. So, guys, man, be sure to subscribe to the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. Turn on the notification bell so that way you get content when I drop it. I'm also dropping a fantasy running back landscape pre-draft that I recorded this afternoon. I'll be dropping that in the morning as well. So you get the 2-for-1. You get the Back Row Redskins show, and you get the fantasy show as well. All right, guys, man, we out. Peace.
Peace.